Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
The Health Minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, yesterday with a team of experts gave South Africa an update on the strategy as far as the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine in South Africa is concerned. And he's pushing for a rollout to start in February. He was addressing an online media conference yesterday amid calls for government to rapidly make a vaccine available in South Africa. Professor Barry Shoup is the chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19 vaccine, and he was part of that presentation yesterday. Joins me on the line now. Professor Avery, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Thank you for having me.
A lot of the content that was covered yesterday, EWN has been reporting on all morning. So I'm just going to head straight to the questions that I have. The minister indicating yesterday that he wants to see 67% of the country vaccinated by the end of 2021, explaining that we need to find funding for the additional 57% because the 10% is going to come from the program that you've signed up to. The question I have, is it not the norm the world over that in order for us to, I suppose, attain what's called herd immunity, that 80% of the population must be vaccinated? Why are we only pegging it at 67% in this country?
Yeah, Africa, 67% is a figure which is calculated relative to this specific virus. Now, each virus, viruses differ in the infectivity. If you look at the one extreme of measles, for example, you need a very, very high, probably about 95% threshold of herd immunity before the epidemic is controlled. Other viruses, for example, like smallpox in the old days, was much less. That was about 70%. Influenza is about much less, 60%. It varies on what we call the R number. The R number, R stands for reproductive number, and that defines the infectivity of the virus. It's the number of people who are susceptible to get infected from an infectious person, and you calculate the herd immunity based on that. So it's really what you call the basic reproductive number of this particular virus, coronavirus, is about 2.5 if there's no interventions. It's basically. And that would come to about 60%. We've added on another 7% to factor in one or two other variables. But really, it's determined by the virus itself. So if we reach 67%, we will be able to control the epidemic. The epidemic will come down.
All right. Thank you very much for that explanation. Why has it taken us this long to even begin those bilateral conversations? And the minister saying that they started already towards the tail end of last year. But clearly, we are very far away from concluding any agreements with the producers of the vaccine in order for us to be rolling it out.
I'm not sure we're very far away. I think we're actually quite close, in fact, to concluding. And I think that's why I mentioned the February deadline. No, I think what has happened is that the very high income countries, they went and pre-purchased vaccine on risk. In other words, while the trials were carrying out. And the middle income countries couldn't really afford to do that. We are, of course, a middle income country. So to some extent, it was the high-income country grabbed, they're about 13% of the world's population, and they pre-ordered about 51% of the production. So the middle-income countries, that really was the kind of basis why this COVAX agreement was actually set up, why the COVAX facility was set up, in order to cater for equitable distribution of vaccines to middle and low-income countries. And that's really why, in a way, we're a little bit behind. But you're not all that behind. You know, Australia is only starting their immunization campaign probably in March. So we will be kind of maybe even ahead of them.
Except Australia is not seeing the kind of challenge with regards to COVID-19, you will agree, Professor, as we are. And when you look at a country like Costa Rica, for example, they're not necessarily a high-income country, are they?
No, they're not. But Australia has got a lot of challenges. They had hard lockdown in Melbourne. They got hard lockdown in Sydney now. I agree their total numbers are considerably less than us, but the challenges still remain there. So they decide to kind of just wait it out, see. And there are some advantages because then you could actually get some knowledge of how the vaccine's behaving in the field. So it's not totally bad that you do wait a bit and kind of see. Obviously, we'd like to have the vaccine. Let me not be misquoted. We'd like to have the vaccine as soon as possible, particularly for our vulnerable populations, particularly the healthcare workers. But there is some merit in kind of being able to kind of have some breathing space to look at the behavior of the vaccines.
It's important to note, though, Professor, that 402 people have been reported dead of COVID-19 in the last 24 hours, bringing that number to 29,577. How much higher will it be before we start seeing that administration? Let me ask this, though. A country like Canada, for example.
Yeah.
A country like Canada had... Go ahead, Professor. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, obviously, you know, it's when can't really make that calculation, because the vaccine, when the vaccine comes, it's not going to simply switch off the epidemic. That's why we kind of so belabor the point that we still need to keep on, certainly for quite a while, those non-pharmaceutical interventions.
A country like Canada, I was going to say, has ordered enough for, I suppose, them to vaccinate the entire population multiple times over, four or five times over, which means they'll be going back to some of those producers, manufacturers of COVID-19 vaccines and saying, thank you very much. We no longer need the stock that we had requested from you. Would South Africa then have access to that stock that is returned, in inverted commas, to the manufacturers because the countries are no longer taking them up?
We hope so. I think that is part of the negotiations with the manufacturers, that there would be excess stock that also middle-income countries could access. And this is something which is very much part of the negotiations, yes.
Let's talk about the logistics then. We know that the US has been rolling out, of course, the vaccine program. The UK has been as well. The EU, I think, started last week, or they're planning to start this week. And we've seen some logistical challenges in their rolling out. In the US alone, they probably only about a tenth of the way of where they had set their target to be by the end of 2020. Are we drawing any lessons from those countries, Professor, that we can adopt, I suppose, and contextualize for South Africa so that we don't make the same mistakes when we eventually roll out our vaccine?
Yes, I think this is a very good point, that we can observe the rollout in these countries and kind of learn from them various things, what the kind of positive things and the negative things which are part and parcel of the rollout. It's a very complicated issue, the rollout, because nowhere have we been faced with actually having to have this extensive immunization of all ages. You know, there's been a lot of experience in immunizing infants and children, but not to the same extent adults. Look, influenza is the closest example, but even then, not to the same penetration as we're going to have to do with the coronavirus vaccination.
Parting question from me. I know there's a task team headed up by Dr. Adrian Gore that will be exploring, I suppose, the public-private partnership in procuring the 50, or funding, if you like, for the 57% additional vaccine that you need. Will, though, medical aids, private companies, private wealth people, I suppose, be able to separately go and source their own vaccines, or will it all have to go through the National Department of Health?
That will all have to go through one central play, which is the Department of Health. In other words, the Department of Health will be the procurer of vaccines, which then will be distributed to private and to public.
Meaning that provinces also will need to work through the Department of Health. I ask that because the Premier of the Western Cape, Ellen Wendy, in a digital conference update last week, indicated that they'll be seeking ways, if you like, as a province of the Western Cape, to procure the vaccines. That will not be allowed then.
Well, it's not that we won't be allowed. They will procure it through the government. In other words, all the individual private and public entities, including the provinces, will go via a central procurement, which will be the National Department of Health.
A parting question from me then, and I know it's an impossible one to answer. We still have to determine which of the vaccines we are going to actually be choosing and procuring, and part of that is going to be determined by which vaccines are available soonest, I suppose. I know there are questions around storage of those vaccines. The Pfizer one, for example, requires minus 70 degrees or something like that, which is impossible and impractical in a South African situation. I know there are bilateral conversations that are underway. But what is a reasonable time that South Africans should expect that the first administration of COVID-19 vaccine will take place in South Africa?
Africa's opening. I hope you wouldn't pin me down to that. The minister mentioned we're trying to get by February, and that would be great. Yeah, February's next month. But, you know, that might be a bit optimistic, but we really don't know. It's going to depend on a number of things on the supply of vaccine and also what vaccines would be available to us. Just to correct you, it's not that the minus 70, the Pfizer vaccine, is impossible. It would be just very limited. There are some facilities in the country for minus 70 storage, but obviously not, but to a very limited extent. It's not totally out of the ballpark.
I suppose, and I know that the previous question was meant to be the last one, but I'll ask this. It is very reasonable and feasible for us to consider a multitude of vaccines, right? So it's not just a Pfizer vaccine that we're rolling out. It could be a Pfizer plus something else, for example.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. No, it'll certainly, we don't want to, probably will not go on one vaccine. We'll probably go more than one. And again, it's going to really depend on the applicability to South African conditions. So we do have some very limited minus 70 facilities. We do need to kind of look at the conditions, particularly in the rural areas and in far-flung areas. These are all considerations with what vaccines and how it's going to be distributed.
All right. Barry, thank you very much indeed for your time. Professor Barry Shoup, Chair of the Ministerial Advisory Committee on COVID-19. The first doses of vaccines, of course, will go to the frontline healthcare workers as well as the most vulnerable. They'll be receiving the first dosages of vaccine when we take delivery of them in this country.